Welcome to our service from St. Finian's Craiga. For listeners on BBC Radio Ulster and BBC Radio Foyle, we are located in East Belfast, just off the outer ring at the top of the Craiga Road. So hopefully you can visualise where we are. We're a church that loves to welcome visitors, so we're delighted that you can worship with us today as we think in our service together about the call of God on our lives. We like to place Jesus at the center of everything that we do, and that's the theme of our opening hymn today as we sing together the hymn, Christ is our Cornerstone.
Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father,
we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
A reading from the first book of Samuel, chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our next hymn, which we will sing twice, is a wonderful song of worship. Jubilate, everybody.
A reading from the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 1, beginning at verse 43. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus said, You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that. He then added, Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us now affirm our faith by saying together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Show us your mercy, O Lord.
And grant us your salvation.
O Lord, save the king.
And grant his government wisdom.
Let your ministers be clothed with righteousness.
And let your servants shout for joy.
O Lord, save your people.
And bless those whom you have chosen.
Give peace in our time, O Lord.
And let your glory be.
O God, make clean our hearts within us.
And renew us by your Holy Spirit.
Our collect prayer for this morning, the second Sunday after Epiphany. Almighty God, in Christ you make all things new. Transform the poverty of our nature by the riches of your grace. And in the renewal of our lives, make known your heavenly glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversities. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and ever-living God, we give you thanks for bringing us safely to this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger, and in all things guide us to know and do your will, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, in whom we live and move and have our being, we humbly pray that your Holy Spirit may so guide and govern us that in all the cares and occupations of our daily life, we may never forget your presence, but may remember that we are always walking in your sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
As we prepare ourselves to consider God's call on our lives, we will sing together the hymn, I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. If you turn in almost any direction as you walk through the pages of the Bible, you will find a call story. And that story will usually describe how some person, often living in obscurity, was overcome or startled by some compelling message from heaven that completely redirected their life into something new or purposeful. And if we ourselves have had experience of seeing God calling people, either in the Bible or perhaps people that we know personally or even ourselves, we see people responding in a variety of ways. Some do things like pursue ordination. Others, like Jonah in the Bible, seem to put a pillow over their heads and go in almost completely the opposite direction to which they were called, in the hope that somehow that call will go away. The vast majority seek to answer God's call by changing how they invest themselves or live their more or less ordinary lives, placing God at the center. But however we respond to God's call. It involves asking some really fundamental questions. It involves asking, what does God want from me? Or how do we comply with his wishes? And because it is such an important subject, I wanted to pluck just a few things from our two very different call stories today, which we heard in our readings a few moments ago. In the first one, we heard about the boy Samuel ministering in the temple. And if you're not familiar with Samuel's story, his mother Hannah, who had no children, prayed and prayed that she might conceive. And she said that if she was blessed with a child, she would return that child to the Lord's service in the temple. And it was a time, we're told, that the word of the Lord was rare and there were not many visions. People had turned away from the Lord and they were leading independent lives. And in many ways, that sounds rather similar to our own day. Not many people seem to be receiving things from God. Maybe because we are too busy and preoccupied with other things. Maybe we've lost faith that God still speaks today. And if he does speak, it would seem highly unlikely that he'd speak to someone like me. Samuel was just a boy, and what's interesting for me is that he is called three times. And as he's called three times, he gets up three times. Samuel was destined to become a great man of God. And if he were to share God's message with the people, he had to learn first and foremost to listen to God. And it's interesting, too, that it took the priest Eli a little while to realize, actually, that God was trying to speak to Samuel. But when he did realize, he told Samuel that if that call came again, he was to speak the scariest words that any of us are ever likely to pray. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. I wonder, would we even dare to pray a prayer like that today for our own lives? Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. What if he were to ask us to do some task that we didn't feel able for? Or what if he had some completely new direction he wanted us to go in? The possibilities are endless, but they can be pretty scary. And maybe it just feels a little bit safer to drift along, keeping God at arm's length instead of truly listening and opening our hearts to him. So call can come to somebody early in their lives, like Samuel, or it can come at a more advanced stage. When we think about our second reading, the thing that's striking from that reading for me is that when Jesus calls people, it's strangely compelling. Those men who heard Jesus' call were all different. Andrew was a simple fisherman who was prepared to play second fiddle to his more extrovert brother, Simon Peter. But once he was sure that Jesus was the Messiah, he couldn't keep that discovery to himself. And he goes on to tell his brother. Philip, when he discovers, tells Nathanael, and so word gets round. I notice the graciousness of the invitations to come and see who Jesus is and what he's about. Not many people have ever been argued into Christianity. And often our arguments do more harm than good. But the only way to convince someone of the supremacy of Christ is to confront him or her with Christ. And the best argument we can offer is to say, come and see. And that is what's so appealing about courses run in churches across the land, like the Alpha Course or Christianity Explored, where people who are curious about Christianity are given the opportunity to come together over a series of weeks to share videos and discussions and to hear from someone who themselves has met and been transformed by Jesus' message. So we have to meet him ourselves before we can invite others to come to him. God's call, then, it's not always about dog collars, but it's about a simple desire to be God's person in the world. Sometimes that leads us in unexpected ways, often in the very ordinary things of our everyday lives. We get a sense of who Jesus is and what he's done for us. That inspires our hearts, and we then want to share what we've discovered with others and invite them to come and see. As we become more attentive, maybe he calls us to a particular task that will involve much more than just us. But the beautiful thing we discover when one lives obediently in the center of God's call is that one feels God's pleasure and one knows a strange joy even when that call leads us outside and beyond our own comfort zone. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you this morning that you call ordinary people just like us to be part of your plan. We pray for openness of heart to receive whatever you want to show us as individuals or as part of a church family. Make us aware of your presence, help us to receive and to share your love, and guide us, we ask, in the ways that you want us to go. Help us to use the gifts you've given us and to work together to bring hope and healing and blessing to our families, our local community, and to the world around us. We ask it through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. We pray for the nations of the world, and we pray this morning for those places caught up in terrible conflict and fighting. We pray for the peoples of Israel and Gaza, of Ukraine and Russia. We pray for all that is happening in Yemen at the present time. Lord, we pray for the leaders of the nations and for influential leaders in local communities to hear that call to be peacemakers. We pray for the courage to trust those who instinctively we react against, for the ability to lead people through challenging processes, and for your wisdom in finding a way to lay down the weapons of war and build a just and lasting peace. We ask it through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. We pray for the sick and the poor and those in any kind of trouble. We remember today all who are homeless in this cold weather. We pray for those struggling with addiction issues, who've been estranged from family and feel isolated and alone. We pray for all the agencies that are working with them. Give them resources and compassion, we pray, as we remember particularly the work of the Salvation Army and the Simon community, who both work in our local community. May people be given hope and opportunity to make a fresh start, we ask. Lord, in your mercy. And we pray for all who are trying to discern your call on their lives. We remember all who have already said yes and find themselves working in new and challenging situations. We pray this morning for Andrew and Joanne Quill, CMS mission partners with whom we have a link, about to leave soon to work in South Sudan. Help them with practical things like packing and travel arrangements, and to have quality time with their family and friends as they prepare to serve in a very different context and culture. Be with all, Lord, who are listening to the service today, who long for your direction in making decisions. Help them to know your peace and obedience in the paths that they choose to serve you in. We ask it through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. The past week has been a sad one in the life of our parish, with a number of families experiencing the pain of bereavement. We pray for them this morning, and we pray for all who are grieving as they listen to this service today. Almighty God, Father of all mercies and giver of all comfort, deal graciously, we pray, with those who mourn, that casting all their care on you, they may know the consolation of your love through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Our next hymn gives us the opportunity to respond to that call of Christ, which is for all of us to hear. We sing together, we turn to Christ anew. It has been a privilege to have this time together before God, and it's been especially lovely to worship alongside our sisters and brothers who've joined us on Radio Ulster and Radio Foyle. Let us close our service with a blessing prayer. May Christ the Son make his call on us a clear one, and may we hear him, so our lives may be a light to the world. And the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be on you and those whom you love, now and forever.
Amen.
Our closing hymn this morning is "Of the Father's Heart Begotten."